Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Yeah.
Is it happy, though?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, of course.
Every day's happy, man. It's Billy, Chris, Anthony, Roy. Guys, we have a special guest, baseball guest, on today. I guess guest is redundant there. But Jeremy Taché of Swings and Misses is going to join us. We're going to talk to him about what's going on with the Marlins. We found out something awesome that Roy does. We're still waiting as of 8:48 a.m. while we're taping this, the results of the Marlins' second batch of tests to figure out if baseball is going to be canceled, because Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, basically said, meh, when asked, hey, should we cancel the season and what's going on with this outbreak? Meh. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. That's not his actual quote. He didn't actually say meh. But basically, he's like, yeah, you know, we thought this might happen, and I think we believe in our protocols, so
doesn't play ball.
Yeah. So before we continue and go any further, Roy.
What?
Let's play a very quick one-part This Is Awesome with Roy Bellamy.
Why?
I'm not even going to ask you what This Is Awesome is. I'm just going to say that we found out that Roy does an awesome Cookie Monster impression.
Oh, Roy. Let's go, Roy. Whip it out.
Whoa.
I'm not whipping anything else.
Like, do your impression. You get it. You know what I mean.
I'm doing this as I try not to wake Claire.
Can I give you a pointer?
No.
You have to say cookie, cookie, cookie in that voice.
Yeah.
Cookie, cookie, cookie stands for C.
Wow.
Again, as I try not to wake up Claire.
Very limited.
I did not have Roy participating in that and actually giving us the fake Cookie Monster.
Well, that's why I'm saying it's a good Tuesday. It's a happy Tuesday. Greg Cody is not here with us today, but he'll be with us later this week. Don't worry about that. We'll get to Greg later this week. Tomorrow, will Wednesday, maybe? We'll see. Who knows?
Maybe. Five Patriots have opted out. So if we play football, that's good for the Dolphins. Good morning.
Was one of them Cam Newton?
No. The biggest name, I believe, is Dante Hightower. It's Dante, because his name ends with an A. So I always get that one a little weird. But yes, he's decided to not play. It got me thinking, why would Trevor Lawrence play this football season? Not to go like real sports topic hot out of the gates, but like, if you're Trevor Lawrence, Tony, like, are you playing this season if there's like risk? Like, you already know you're the first pick. Like, why does he play?
Yeah. He plays because he signed up to play at Clemson, and, you know, Dabo is going to be like, hey, you got to play. We all know Dabo's track record of, you know, where he stands on a lot of different issues, and I don't know if he's going to have much of a say in if he plays or not. If I were, you know, that's just saying if college football even happens, we might not even see college football this year, and he might just get a pass and start working out like Nick Bosa did. Remember, he tore his abdomen like the first or second game of the year and said, all right, I'm not coming back. I'm going to work out and just get ready for the NFL draft. And that seemed to be a pretty good thing to do, because now all of a sudden he's a second pick and he's a monster.
Billy,
but if I was Trevor Lawrence, I wouldn't be. What's the reason? No, you're good.
I know. No, I just, you got a little digi there, so I didn't know if you were breaking out, but maybe it's my internet. But I don't know, Billy. Billy, did you see that the Canes have won recruiting during quarantine?
I mean, okay. We'll see what that leads to.
And they named a quarterback like 3 months too early. But hey, man, the Canes are winning. The last week or so, the Canes are winning.
De'Ara King, right?
Yeah, they named De'Ara King the starter, and they've like gotten a bunch of good recruits. Like, they've gotten a bunch of, I don't know any of their names, but I just been reading that they've been winning quarantine recruiting.
Was it a big deal that they were going to have De'Ara King as the starting quarterback, knowing that he only has 1 year left on his eligibility and this was going to be it? Were they going to name somebody else quarterback and we didn't know about it?
Bah.
Oh, wow. Also, I didn't even realize that. So, I mean, this wouldn't count as a year of eligibility if they don't play, right? But yeah, that stinks if they name him the starting quarterback and there's no season.
Like, all right, good job.
At least he got say he was the starter. But I feel like Jeremy Taché is going to back me up and say that this Marlins team is good. I've been reading his tweets, and I feel like he's on my side that this Marlins team is legitimately good. But I believe he's also on the side of let's cancel the entire season. So it's a tough little balance.
So right, he's now not on your side.
Well, yeah. He thinks the Marlins are good, but he doesn't think we should be playing baseball. So,
what happened with Tate Martell?
Yeah, whatever happened to him? I think he was playing wide receiver or something, right?
Yeah, but is he still on the team?
I believe so. Yes, I mean, he hasn't transferred, but
yeah, you can come out and confirm that. Chris Cody?
I feel like I would have seen that news.
And Jaren Williams, I thought, entered the transfer portal, but he hasn't emerged from that portal, right? Is he still in the portal floating around?
Wasn't he thinking about FIU? I saw at one point.
They ended up getting the Maryland quarterback, I think, once Tua's brother went to Maryland, or right before Tua's brother went to Maryland, the Maryland quarterback came to FIU.
Oh, wait, you didn't get Tua's brother?
No.
Tua's brother went to Maryland?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at us.
What? He's a Terp.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, the total.
Look
so
at
weird.
How do I know more about college football than you guys? No, this is problematic, I think.
We weren't really keen on the backup third string quarterback for Alabama and where he was going to go. The Tungavailoa last name. You know, how are we supposed to know?
It's almost football season. That's S-Z-N.
Z-Z-N.
Yeah.
I got like 10 people yesterday when I mentioned say there was already a complete game.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Chris, you also have your fake announcement.
Yes, we have. And also another correction. Neither of the Braves catchers have COVID. They just had a cold.
Perfect. That seems impossible.
Dude, look it up. I'm telling you, they did not. They were tested. They had symptoms, so they thought they had it. But they ended up both testing negative, and they just seemed to have a cold.
That's one thing that gets missed in this day of, you know, age of COVID. It's like you can have a cold without having COVID.
Right.
There's a lot going on with
people
this.
People are just like, if you wake up with a sore throat, you're just like, I can't go to work.
You're like,
Juan Soto tested positive, and then 5 minutes later tested negative. They're like, all right, come on back. Never mind.
Don't you have to have two negative tests in a row to be able to come back in any of the sports? I mean, that's what they've been talking about.
Well, yeah, I assume that he took the two tests like 2 days apart or whatever. But like over the span of a weekend, he went from, he's going to be out. And, oh, no, never mind. He's back. He didn't have it. Imagine if that happened with the Marlins. We're like, actually, the 14 positives were
all
negatives.
Fake.
Yeah, we used like the
bootleg version.
The Walgreens brand Corona test that didn't pan out for us.
I think I'm going to save my big personal announcement for the end to really get that TSL.
Yeah. You should start.
Whoa.
You got to tease it, though.
Exactly.
Radio veteran over here.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't even want to tease it. It's that juicy.
Chris's one big thing.
Coming up next, we talk some fish with Jeremy Taché.
And we're back. We're joined now by Jeremy Taché of Swings and Misses, new episodes weekly, wherever you download your podcast. Jeremy, it has been
crazy as shit, Jeremy. It's been crazy.
I mean, my God.
Yeah, continue, Billy. I just needed to emphasize that. Go ahead, Billy. It's just been crazy.
I was going to say it's been a crazy or wild couple of days here, but you know, maybe you said it better than I would have.
Yeah, it's been the craziest 48 hours of my professional life, that's for sure. It has been really wild to think about what Sunday and Monday were like for the Miami Marlins, that's for sure.
So as of taping right now, it's 9:00 in the morning. We're still awaiting the results of the second, or I guess third batch, if you count the original positive test as a first batch of tests from the Marlins. We don't really know what's going on with that. The plan from what everybody's been saying is hopefully they come back and there's not a lot more than there have been. You'd have to think that if they do a second batch of testing and seven players and two coaches test positive, that they hopefully have nipped this in the bud and we're not going to get yet another big batch of players. But who's to know because of what they were doing and, you know, who they came in contact with. So if things go well today and there's not another big batch of an outbreak here, the plan is to then go to Baltimore and kind of just resume the season, bring up some people from Jupiter, hope that if this did happen in Atlanta, which is what the belief is, even though now
right.
I think that there's some reports that some of the Braves catchers didn't have Corona. They were just sick and it's a whole mess. But it seems like if things go well today and the results that we get today are not positive, the results are negative, then we're just going to continue on with the season and then everyone will get better and move on, right?
Yeah, that's exactly how it'll go. Just simple as that. The biggest key that you're talking about is we're probably, as we're recording this, either minutes or at least a couple of hours from finding out whether or not the Marlins and or the Phillies have a number of positive tests. Because that's an element to all of this too, right? Is the Marlins had seven positive tests from players yesterday and two coaches after having three positive tests the day before and one positive test 2 days before that. So that's growing exponentially. And you guys, I know, actually talked about this and how it's been growing like that yesterday on the local hours. So that's my overall concern as we do await these results is, well, what if it grows exponentially again and the remaining 20 guys on the Marlins all have it? Hopefully that is not the case. And that is not to try to stoke fear or anything like that. That's just hoping for the best. But if the Phillies have a huge spike, that could also be an issue that we're waiting on, as they have had to cancel their games with the Yankees as well. And I think that'll probably be the key to see whether or not baseball can continue the way that they've been handling their protocol. Because if you have a number of Marlins spike this way, but they can contain it to just the Marlins, well, that would be a giant shame for the Marlins and all of the roster implications that come with that afterward. At least from Major League Baseball's standpoint, they know they've contained it to just one team, and that spread doesn't happen just from playing on a field with other guys who are sick. And like you said, the Braves are at least claiming that their two guys who had all of the symptoms have colds. They haven't tested positive.
So I want to kind of talk to you about that, because obviously a lot of what we saw yesterday was finger pointing in the direction of the Marlins, right? And yeah, it's a shame, not because, you know, we cover the Marlins, we grew up, we like whatever, but it's kind of a shame because you don't really know where this came from, right? And if you're asymptomatic, you don't know that you have it. So you're not actually going out there and playing. And I've talked to some people who have told me, because one of the criticisms was, hey, why did the Marlins play? They shouldn't have played that game. From what I heard, they reached out to the Phillies and they told the Phillies, this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. And the Phillies said, we want to play. So they reached out to the Phillies, they reached out to baseball, and it wasn't like this secret thing where they knew, hey, we have all these guys sick, we're going to send them out there and play anyways because we don't want to, you know, lose the game. It seems like they followed procedure from what I've heard, and, you know, this is just one of those things that happen. And it seems like they got it on a road trip, right? From what they're saying, everyone was negative when they were down here in Miami. Mm-hmm. And then they went on the road, and whether it happened being exposed to players that may or may not have been sick there, whether it happened when they were stuck on a bus, it seems like we don't know exactly when it happened, but it's been traced back to that trip, correct?
Exactly. And so, look, it's possible that the Marlins could have contracted this in Miami. That's more than possible, because we've talked about the incubation period on COVID for this entire time, right? That's anywhere from 2 days to 14 days. It's why doctors have recommended that nobody plays baseball for the next 5 days on that team regardless, because you kind of need to find out who. Everybody's body reacts differently to this thing. We've seen that with the healthiest of people. We've seen that with sick people, from people experiencing no symptoms to people passing away from this disease, right? Everybody's reacting differently. Everybody's body processes it at a different time. And so it's possible that, say, Jorge Alfaro, who was the first that tested positive, did contract it in Miami, but did not show up testing positive until they got on the road. And that's of no fault of his own. That's of no fault of the Miami Marlins. And for that matter, that's of no fault of the MLB. The one thing that is a problem is, like you said, there was a lot of blame on the Miguel Rojas group text, right, on Sunday morning, where the players are deciding to play on Sunday. But the overall attitude from Major League Baseball from the very beginning of all of this was, we've provided 60 players to your roster. If some guys get sick, you're supposed to persevere and play through it. Could the Marlins, in their group chat as a group of adults, have made a decision, hey, too many of us have been exposed, we don't want to expose the Phillies? Sure, but that would have been the complete opposite of what the mentality has been and is supposed to be throughout this entire summer training and into the regular season. It's supposed to be, you have enough players on your roster. You have a three-man taxi squad that can come up if and when something like this happens and you're missing a couple of players. So they went ahead and played, let the Phillies know this wasn't a secret, like you just said. And really, you know, before the game, I was talking about MLB should be stepping in and making sure this game doesn't happen. And that's what was remarkable about the win to begin with.
Well, that's kind of what I'm wondering. And I don't know as much about the protocol as I should. So I'm asking you. Mm-hmm. How does that work? Because it shouldn't be up to the players to just say, hey, we're not playing today, right? So who ultimately makes that call? Is it management? Is it the team? Is it the league? Because I know that they're getting a lot of flack for, like, saying, hey, we want to play anyways. But it's kind of like don't ask your kids what you want them to eat for dinner. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Players are going to want to play, especially if they've bought into this, you would think, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to have someone who is above that, looking out for the best interest of not just the team, but the league, saying, hey, you really shouldn't be playing. I know that you guys want to play. I know that you guys don't feel anything, but we need to get through a round of testing and make sure it's safe for everyone. So what is the actual protocol? Because there seems to be confusion there.
I think that there is confusion there for Major League Baseball. What's really happened here and what's become obvious is that it doesn't seem like MLB really had a plan in action for a breakout of this size this quickly. MLB's plan of action when one or two players was testing positive in a given day is, hey, go ahead and make your roster moves, make your call-ups. You got a taxi squad if you're on the road. That seems to pretty much be their mentality. And, you know, that doesn't seem quite right to me. And again, there seems to be confusion on this to begin with. Everything we were told after the game when we spoke with Don Mattingly and Miguel Rojas was Mattingly said, we never consider not playing and we were never told not to play. Miguel Rojas said the same thing. They all spoke to each other to make sure everybody felt comfortable. He wanted to make sure that every single player had a voice as the leader of the team. He reached out to every single player and made sure that they were all comfortable playing. And since nobody was feeling sick, nobody exhibited symptoms. And from what we understand, not one of the Marlins who has tested positive that has been placed on the IL is experiencing symptoms. I don't know that for the next group. But those first four guys were not experiencing symptoms. So, at least from what we know. So, that being said, I can understand why the players, who again have been told, play through this. You have a taxi squad. You have 60 men on the roster for a reason, would want to show up and play. You know, they're not all of a sudden after 2 days, after starting 1-1, going to just opt out of the season, because that's essentially what you'd be doing by saying, we don't feel comfortable playing today, right? I mean, if Major League Baseball says that they feel comfortable with you playing and they're not stepping in and making a difference, why would a player who's now gone out of his way to make the decision to play this season look at it any differently on Sunday than he did with the risk that was there on Friday or Saturday or the days before that? There's, in their minds, there's been risk every single time since they've stepped onto the field. And I think it's important to keep in mind with the Marlins specifically, they literally play at a testing center in the COVID hotbed of the world right now. Like, they play at a huge testing center, and they're becoming almost not numb to this because they've taken it very seriously, but that's where they were at, and they somehow felt safer at home than they did on the road. So it just shows how uncomfortable it is to be doing all of this traveling, and why, as everyone has spoken about in the last 24 hours, a bubble could have been more helpful, but in Major League Baseball would have been difficult to execute.
How much of a factor is the ball clubs not giving service time to minor league players as a means of replacing those players that are sick?
Yeah, I think that is something that is really being taken into consideration by the Marlins. This is a complicated issue for the Marlins because they added a number of top prospects who are just not ready to play Major League Baseball quite yet to their 60-man. I don't believe that they ever anticipated a breakout of this size and then continuing to play baseball, right? Do you think anybody in Major League Baseball thought, oh, if a third of our team gets sick in the first weekend, we'll still be playing come the next week? I don't think anybody anticipated that. So did the Marlins anticipate calling up, say, Monte Harrison later this year? Yeah, absolutely. You know, there are some top prospects that were always going to play this season. But now if all of a sudden, because of COVID and an outbreak and really not wanting to continue to play, the Marlins are forced to start the clock on Jesus Sanchez, J.J. Bleda, Sixto Sanchez, Edouard Cabrera, even Max Meyer, their first-round pick from this year. I mean, those are the guys that are on the back end of that roster. Jose Devers, who's only like 19, 20 years old. These kids aren't ready for the
yet. What about the Victors? Are we going to see any of the Victors?
The Victors are not on the 60-man. The Victors did not make the 60-man, so neither Victor Mesa nor Victor Mesa Jr. would be called up in this scenario. But you know, to be forced to start the clock, I don't think that's something the Marlins want to do at this point. So you'll see them go out and sign a number of free agents. They already signed Justin Schaefer and Josh D. Smith. They already had Josh A. Smith. So now they have two different relievers named Josh Smith, which is just a fun little fact there. And, you know, they're going to try to piece it together for the time being. But if they have to play Wednesday in Baltimore and they're bussing whoever's quote unquote healthy, because again, we've talked about the incubation period. We still might have guys that are bussed from Philadelphia to Baltimore who don't test positive yet, who could test positive later. That group, some prospects and a few guys who haven't played baseball all summer. It's a shame for the Marlins. And I think if this was a different organization who nationally people felt were supposed to be competitive, maybe we'd be having a different conversation.
What are the chances Jeets laces him up?
Oh man. What I wouldn't give for Jeter and Jorge Posada to be the starting lineup
Let's
for
go.
The Marlins on Wednesday. That guy, as the competitor that he is, we spoke to him last week on Swings and Misses, and you could tell just from his energy just sitting down, he was so ready for opening day. Like, that guy still just really breathes baseball. It's so funny. You could just feel it. And so, man, if you don't think that there have been, I bet that he at least made a joke to someone in the organization overnight.
For sure.
So that's at least been made for sure.
Now, before we get to Anthony, he's got something wacky to go with you. Billy and Roy and Tony mocked me yesterday for saying that this Marlins team is good. Let's take away all the sadness. Let's pretend this all goes away and we get to play the season out. Roy shaking his head. Maybe he didn't mock me, but I got mocked.
I did not mock you, no.
Tell these guys that this team, obviously they're not like a powerhouse like the Yankees, but this team is good, sure. Jeremy.
This team would have been at least competitive baseball this season, right? This was a real Major League Baseball lineup, which is one of the which is as big of a compliment as I can give to what their lineup looked like the last number of years, right? This was a Major League Baseball team. You look at how Jesus Aguilar started the season. Brian Anderson's a quality hitter. Jonathan Villar off the top. Miguel Rojas had literally the best start of anybody in baseball. And they could hit, and that wasn't supposed to be their strength. Their pitching is supposed to be the strength. Their issue is the bullpen. The bullpen got very lucky over the weekend, and that's how you come out 2-1. But in a 60-game season, you know what? Getting lucky a few times is going to lead you to having some success. So the team could have been at least competitive. I'm not saying they would have been a playoff team by any means, but 2-1 against the Phillies and then 4 against Baltimore, who's, you know, I mean, let's be real about what Baltimore's roster looks like right now, especially their pitching rotation. You could have been 5-2 after this week and feeling good. Instead, this is where we're at, which is a shame.
Well, that's the thing about this season that's so interesting, and you mentioned it, because of the expanded playoffs, you really only had to be a decent team with a little bit of luck to maybe sneak into the playoffs. And you would assume that once the playoffs get started, the weaker teams will be weeded out. But you never know. If you get Sandy out there and you could get him maybe twice in a best of five series, you could advance just because of his performances.
Mm-hmm. Well, and remember, it's best of three in the first round.
Yeah.
It's seeded 1-8, and it's a 3-game series. I mean, the Marlins just took 3 from the Phillies, right? Who everybody would have said was the better team going in. Anything can happen in 3 games. So the shame of it is, all they had to do was finish in the top half of teams in the National League. And all of a sudden, some of the teams in the NL East and the AL East are kind of looking exposed, right? I mean, the Red Sox pitching rotation is horrific, right? The Orioles, we know, are not all that great. The Blue Jays are still young. The Nationals didn't hit through the first weekend. The Phillies pitching clearly is not exactly there. The Mets are going to Mets. So when
I hear what you're saying, Jeremy, I hear it. The Marlins are making the playoffs. Just say
I'm
it, man.
Certainly,
just get out there and say it.
I'm certainly not saying that, especially considering everything that's going on right now. And I don't think I would have said it even after the weekend, regardless of the positive test. But all I'm saying is that it's unfortunate because this team would have been more competitive than the narrative is going to be nationally about all of this. And that's disappointing for the guys who went out there and busted their butts from the spring through the summer. And, you know, now a number of those players are only on 1-year deals, right? Jonathan Villar is only supposed to be here for this season. Who knows what's going on the rest of the way?
Not to shift gears here, but I will. Jeremy, you're my boy, and I appreciate you coming on to the Lauer, but I do have to drop this bomb on you, and I'm upset that I have to do it, and I don't know if I'm going to catch a lot of flack from the boys on this, but You know what? Schitt's Creek, not that good.
Oh,
not that good. Not that good.
Whoa!
Not
that good. How many? How much?
Go out and say
Anthony.
Oh my god!
Right. Didn't get it. Didn't make sense to me. Not funny. I don't know. I didn't get it.
You got to give it some character development time, man. This is one of those shows. Well, the narrative of this show, from where they take the characters from the beginning of the show through the end of the show, and where they're able to develop those characters into having their own little intricacies. Oh, Anthony, you got to give it a chance, man. You got to give it. How many episodes did you give it?
My wife was watching it, and I was watching it kind of simultaneously. Maybe
can't
like,
do it that way. You can't do it that way.
You can't. It's an active watch. It's an active watch. There's little jokes hidden in there, man. There's little jokes.
Maybe like 4 or 5 episodes. But the thing is, I don't like that I have to watch the entire thing to get the show.
You don't. Like, just give it the first season. I'm telling you, I was with you. I the first 4 or 5 episodes, I was with my wife, and I wasn't like, I'm like, this is funny and cute and cool, but they develop. I'm telling you, like, once you get into the second season, you start to really like get invested in these characters. But Jeremy, I know what's happening here. Tony is so bougie. He's like the roses before they lost all their money.
So he relates like, much to them.
He is so like, he's like, I could never live in this place. You're living at this hotel? Like, that's what Tony is thinking with all this. So see why he doesn't love this show.
It's touching a little too close to home. I'm just surprised that you're literally saying you don't get the show.
I know. I get it. It just doesn't resonate with me for some reason on a deeper level. I've been watching Parks and Rec that I had never seen. So I'm binging Parks and Rec now. And I feel like I'd be more apt to watch that than watch Schitt's Creek.
I understand why that could happen to you. And the characters on Parks and Rec are way more surface level relatable. You need to give yourself a chance to develop, to love those characters on Schitt's Creek. Because once you do, once you get really in there with Moira Rose and you start to understand what a completely crazy person she is, and David and Alexis's relationships evolve. I mean, I could talk about Schitt's Creek way more than I could talk about the Marlins. I love that show.
I thought that Moira, that character, was so over the top the first season. I was like to my wife, I'm like, I feel like that's the one character that's a little too much for me. But I'm telling you, even her, Tony, by the second season, I'm like, I love it. Let's go.
You really, I mean, they become, I really, and I said this out loud to my girlfriend the other day. I said, I miss the roses because it's been so long since I rewatched. I felt like I missed them like family members, which is maybe more of a criticism of myself and my loneliness during quarantine than anything else, you know, but it probably is. But I'm willing to admit it here on this show that I miss them. And it's only been a few months since I watched the show, because that's how much you grow to love those characters. I'm telling you.
Were you going to go to the live show? I'm assuming you would have gone to the live show when they were coming in May that ended up getting canceled.
Coming in May?
Yeah.
They were.
They were doing like a farewell tour type thing.
The world stinks right now.
I was set to go actually to the one in Orlando. My girlfriend lives up in Orlando, and I was going to go with her and my little brother who goes to UCF. We were all going to go together. It's a shame.
Long distance relationship. We'll get into that next time. We'll do
perfect.
Oh, Jesus.
Great.
It's not your business, man.
Thank you for joining us. Even though all of what we just talked about will be old news when this news breaks in about an hour, sure. We appreciate you joining us. Thanks for joining the Lauer today.
Hey, thank you guys.
Thank you to Jeremy Taché for joining us. We've had an interesting development in this little break that we have in between segments where Chris is at Greg's house and Greg is walking around in the back, and we've heard Greg, but he's not participating in Greg Cody Tuesday. Now, the national show, obviously Dan Stugatz won't be there today, which is why Greg won't be on the national show, but Lauer, I mean, Greg's right there. He could have maybe popped in, said hi, but I guess we're not going to get Greg Cody today because he's not doing the primetime show.
Well, I did bump him because of Jeremy Taché. I was like, we're talking Marlins. So I was like, you know, Greg, you'll do later in the week when you do national. That's what we'll do.
Maybe Greg wanted to talk to Jeremy.
He doesn't seem too interested. He's just on cup of coffee number 42 for the morning. So he's, you know.
So yeah. I know you teased yesterday that there was a big announcement. We can get to that later today. We don't. Mm-hmm. But, what are your dad's feelings on this whole Marlins situation? Because he was supposed to be at Marlins Park yesterday, and because of what happened, obviously the game didn't occur. The game's not going to happen today. So is he going to, when they come back down, just hop right back into it, or is he going to be a little more cautious now?
I mean, knowing him, he was probably happy to get out of work yesterday, but he... He's like this, you know, my dad's the type that he shows up for opening day and then he'll show back up at the stadium if they make the playoffs. Like, he's not like, you know, a beat guy, but he likes to show up for opening day. I didn't even want him to go. I was like telling him, I was being the worrywart son, like, you know, maybe don't go into the hot spot of the entire world for COVID just to, you know, cover a game that you could cover from your house. But I don't know, man. I feel like everyone has the same exact response to this right now of like, this shit's crazy and nobody knows anything. Do you guys want to hear my big announcement?
Yeah, we do.
I mean, sure.
No, I'm not going to tell you today because we went so long with Jeremy Teche. The local hour's been going long. It's actually not that long, but I just want to tease this another day. So you will get
I think that there's no announcement.
Whoa.
If I'm just going to. Just to speculate here.
That's bold speculation.
Speculation.
Wow.
I am not saying you're wrong, but I'm not saying you're right. But if you'd like to find out what my announcement is, you're going to have to tune in tomorrow because I'm not telling you right now.
That's unfortunate.
God knows what he's doing.
Wow.
Also, Tony, I've joined Tony in his quest to become better in his 30th year. I've decided that I'm also going to start a diet and get right this year. So that's the big announcement.
That's good luck to you. Honor. Wait, that was the announcement?
No, that's just something I'm sharing.
That's
right
a
now.
Side note. Yeah.
Side announcement.
Side note. Okay.
How long can I ask this question? And I'm not putting you on blast, Anthony. I'm just wondering, what's your guys' like time frame on how long you keep balloons? Because I see the birthday balloon still there.
Oh, it
looks a little sadder than it did yesterday.
No, it's still, well, okay, that's a good, like, it's a cellophane balloon, right? That's a good one of the shiny ones. That one's going to keep for a while. So I'm wondering how long you guys normally keep birthday balloons and birthday cards. Because birthday cards I keep way too long. Like, I'll keep a card for my birthday for a long time, and I don't know why I have a sense of guilt about throwing it away. Some people, normal people, throw them away immediately. But I'll hold on to them.
I throw them out that day. Like,
yeah, me too.
I read the card, and then around that evening, in the garden.
Do you let the people that gave it to you see you throw it away? Like, okay, your wife, for example, if your wife gives you like a birthday card, you throw that away immediately?
No.
I will admit to you that I will be subtle. I will try to not let her see me throw them away. But yeah, they're in the garbage. First opportunity.
Wow.
My wife's, I keep, like, I have it on our desk. Like, we have like a desk, whatever. I put it on the desk and I'll have it there for a little bit. The one that I got from my grandma in the mail, I threw away.
Oh, man.
But she wrote me a note. So here it is. She wrote me a typed note on the inside of it. So she didn't actually write on the card.
How do we know she wrote it?
Yeah.
She lives by herself, and I don't know if anybody else would write it for her. Oh. But, and the grammar wasn't great.
Wait, typed Cuban, like typewriter Cuban or like printed?
Like printed, like on a.
I was hoping it was a typewriter.
No, she doesn't have a typewriter. She doesn't have the patience for a typewriter. Really? But I threw that one away instantly. The one from my wife I kept. And here's the balloon. I went and got it. It actually has a clip.
Like a bag, okay. so bag clip kind of thingy.
Yeah, you can kind of put it anywhere, which is cool. And again, as I told you, it had a lot of ribbons.
Yeah.
A lot of unnecessary ribbons. It's feeling, you know what? It's actually still pretty good. I'd probably say maybe 75% still full.
Yeah. That's going to hold for a while. I think.
Do you guys want me to throw it out?
Nah, no. It's fine. It's a good look. Did you guys ever have an aunt or an uncle or a family member that would send you cards as a kid and wouldn't put anything in it? Cause you know, when you're like 14, 15 in that range, you want like, you know, $20, $10, $5. It's just fun. Like
something
in there. I used to have an aunt, because obviously as you're older, once like I'm 33, 32 now, so I don't expect her to, like, now a card with nothing in it is fine. But as a 16-year-old, did you guys ever have...
How old are you?
I'm 32. Aren't I? 87? Am I 33 now?
I think you're 33, bro.
Man, yeah. Life, right? And wow, I'm 33.
Just can't count. That's all it is.
It just hit me. It just hit me. I'm 33.
How do you feel now? I mean, you just lost a year.
Like that.
I'm legitimately, like, usually, like, people like, oh, I forget how old I am. Like, I thought I was 32. This birthday that I had, like, 2 months ago, I just didn't have any recollection of.
Ask your, how old does your daughter think you are?
She'll say 2. Gracelyn, how old am I? 3? I'm 3.
Okay. Ooh, close. 30. There you go.
What a swing, yeah, huh?
I did the math. 2020 minus 1987 is 33.
So you guys never used to get cards from like family members with nothing in it, and then you just throw it right away because it's like, why? I'm 15 years old. Give me $10. Like, what are you doing? None of you guys had the cheap aunt?
No.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think we've all been there.
Billy's like, but I don't want to call her out. On
yeah, I don't want to. They don't see. Yeah, pointing. You know, like,
are they out, avid like, Lauer listeners?
It's okay. Aunt Pat no, but listen. Aunt Pat doesn't listen.
You know, I actually had an Aunt Pat.
I have an Aunt Pat. That's the one who did it to me.
Oh, really?
My dad's looking at me right now. Yeah, Aunt Pat never put anything in the car.
She wasn't really my aunt though. I guess she was more my mom's aunt. So I guess that makes her my great aunt.
Great aunt. Yeah.
How do you guys feel about aunt versus aunt?
I go aunt because I'm aunt.
I go aunt. Aunt Roy? Bonnie.
I feel like it's none of your business.
Wow. Hmm. Oh, there it is.
Good way to end the show. Yeah,
that's right.
High note.
Now get out of here.
Hope.